Mary J. Blige with My Life, 1994. I'm telling you, that's some good stuff. But if you just joined us, this is your girl Marjan, and this is the Soul Society. Every Wednesday, you can catch me here from 8 to 10, okay, p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on the station making waves. Well, I'm telling you, I'm not going to keep you any longer, but I've got Mr. Jeff Red on the phone. Let me get everything set up. Hey, Jeff, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm... Music to my ears. How are you doing, sir?
I am wonderful. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man, Jeff, I'm telling you, I got people looking... I'm in a glass bubble, kind of like here at the studio here in the Detroit area, and I've got people all around me looking in and everything. I closed the door because I was like, I got to have my time with Jeff. I can't be disrupted.
Yes, I hear you. I was sitting here. I actually wanted to call in early so I can hear you on the radio and you all, hey, this is that. Yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. I can work with that.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, hey, we got people. Oh, hey, I got somebody coming in now. I ain't going to shout her out, but she's like, I want to come here. Yeah, you know, you good. But no, Jeff, we're going to get this interview started. Again, thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview, because like I said earlier, you know, in the music industry, you meet people who tend to sometimes be a little, I don't care what level they're on, they can be a little standoffish. And right. I mean, the thing is, I know, of course, you know, you're an artist, you have been on the other side, the business side, but the thing that you, your claim to fame is you discovered Mary J. Blige. So,
yes, ma'am.
Oh, man. So I'm telling you, let's get started. Where are you from, Jeff?
I am from a great, huge town that's 4 square miles called Mount Vernon, New York.
All right.
And this city is, like I said, it's only 4 square miles, but the talent and the people that have come out of Mount Vernon is, you know, it's the who's who on the list. Of course, Denzel Washington, Heavy D, I'll be sure, P. Roxiel Smooth, J.B. Smooth, and, you know, then we get into athletes like Ken Singleton and the McRae brothers, the Williams brothers. So, I mean, it's just like a city that's when something's going on, everybody gets involved. So everybody says it's in the water, so I guess that's true.
Yeah, what they call it, money-earning Mount Vernon, right?
That's right. You got it right. Some people say, oh, you for money-making Mount Vernon. No, that money is money-earning. Money-making is Manhattan.
All right, that's right. Let's get that clear. Okay. Now, what inspired you to pursue your dream of singing, producing, writing, the whole music industry? What inspired you to do that?
You know, it's funny. Ever since I was a little kid, my father passed away when I was 8 years old. Before he passed away, he would have my sister and I sing. Every time company would come over, we would sing. It was a song by Chi Chi and Pepe. Mm. Called I Know That I'm In Love.
Okay.
And my sister and I would sing that song all the time when people came over. And then eventually he passed. And then at the age of 10, the house we were living in, the landlord asked my mother, because she'd take my sister and I to a show. So my mother said, cool. So we drove, and, you know, I was 10, so I didn't know too much about the city at the time. So we waited on this long line for an hour. And finally we got in, the lights went down, and all I heard this guy say, are you really ready for some Super Dynamite Soul? Well, thank you, because now it's start time. Mm. And I was going to see James Brown, not even knowing.
Yeah.
And after I saw James Brown perform, it was like I came home and I started spinning on the, you know, spinning around the living room, scraping my knees up. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to make people excited like that. And, you know, you fast forward years later, I got into the record business, and I've been doing it now for 29 years.
Wow. That's what's up. James Brown, the Godfather.
The Godfather. Soul. And I actually met him years later. I met him years later at the Jack the Rapper convention in Atlanta.
Wow.
And I waited outside for an hour. I said, I'm going to sing him. I don't care. They said, well, you got to wait. I said, that's fine. I can wait.
I know that's
and
right.
I waited. And I took the picture, and I have that picture. I actually got to get that picture from the guy who took it. His name is Raymond. I forgot Raymond's name. But Raymond took the photo, and he has it, so I'm waiting to get that, and I'm definitely going to post that.
Right, that is, hey, that's it right there. I don't blame you. I would be in music, too, yeah, if I got a chance to meet James Brown. Actually, I got a chance to meet his daughter. Shout out to Deanna. Okay. She's actually one of my sorority sisters. Hey, I got a...
What are you, a Delta?
No. Oh, Lord. AKA, yeah. You didn't know,
Pinky
Jeff.
Green.
Yeah, Pinky Green.
I kind of figured that with your smooth voice and all that.
Hey, thank you. He made up for it. All right, y'all.
I got, yeah, exactly.
but you know what, Jeff? Here's the real thing. When I, you know, booked your interview, one of the things, besides talking about how you discovered Mary J. Blige, is... One of the things I think that's so fascinating about you is that how you, you know, you start off kind of like as an artist, recording artist, but then also you kind of realized after so much time in that area, you know, you want to switch over into the business side. And I Right. think that's so key because a lot of times people, whether it's entertainment, like sports, music, you know, whatever, music, it's like they think if it doesn't work, if they can't be the star, then it's like, oh shoot, I failed. No, it's right. Other things you can do, you know what I mean? You don't have to always be like the star bad athlete. You can be an agent, you know, you can be
absolutely,
you know what I'm saying? So please, absolutely. Please tell me, what was it like being a recording artist? You know, give us the pros and cons versus being on the business side, like a record company executive.
You know, the great thing about being a recording artist is your ability to create and make music and work with people that you've always wanted to work with and put that music out and see the reaction from the people. And, you know, you get an instant reaction, whether it's good or bad. And I love that about being an artist. But the great thing that I loved about being an executive was now I had the opportunity to help people get into the business because I know how difficult it was to get people on the phone, to get a meeting with somebody. So I wanted to have this open door policy. And by the grace of God, I was able to have that policy. And I was, you know, became the, at the end of the day, I became the senior vice president of A&R at MCA. And I want to say thanks to Kim Wilson for that. But I became the senior vice president of A&R. And then during that time, I made all the Casey and JoJo records.
Wow,
worked on the Stella Group, How Stella Got a Groove Back soundtrack, the Hurricane soundtrack. Worked on the Ease By You soundtrack, and then I did a lot of stuff with Allure. I signed Melky Sadek, which is Y Club's brother and sister, worked on the New York Undercover soundtrack. So I had the ability to work on these projects, and working on these projects, I had the ability and the opportunity to bring in new guys like Rory Bennett, God rest his soul. He was the one who co-wrote All My Life and Tell Me It's Real with JoJo.
Wow.
And working with guys like Mike Smoove and Ralph Stacey and those guys who were, you know, they were doing things, but, you know, this took them to a whole different level.
Right,
so it
right.
was a great opportunity to do that, to come in as an executive and have success, man. And, you know, overall, I think, wow, they have sold about 12 million albums on Casey and JoJo overall.
Wow.
And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, MCA closed its doors, and then I left there and then started So Real Records.
Right.
And after starting my label, I had like three acts, and the thing about that, it was great, but I think I had more desire to make it happen than the artist, and that taught me a lot because you got to work with artists who have something going on already, and
right.
when you get with them, you're only adding to what they're doing,
right?
So that's what I had to learn about that, but
that's
it was
up.
Great. I think the pros of being on an artist is you're able to create, you get out there, perform, and see the instant reaction. The cons of it all is being an artist is sometimes your career is in other people's hands, and you have to wait and see what happens, and you have to see at some labels, are you a priority? And, you know, all that stuff has changed now because, you know, I see people working on demos and trying to get record deals. That day has passed.
Wow.
Now it's about putting out music independently, getting your views up on YouTube and Facebook and whatever, and going out there and performing.
Wow.
And once you get your views up and all that stuff, they'll come after you. But if you have enough views and you can sell like 5,000, 10,000 records at $10, that's $50,000 to $100,000. You can go on to the next record.
Right.
So it's these things now where people have to understand the game has shifted. And it was rough for us, meaning the people that came through when I came through, is because now you're saying, you know, when you get older, you start saying, this is whack, these young people. But no, they don't have wax stuff. It's just a lot of the stuff is different from what we were doing. And, you know, I think what needs to take place now is there needs to be balance on radio. I mean, it's cool you can play the other stuff, but play some other stuff as well. It's like, give me the balance. And that's what we had growing up, because I can go on and on. But when we were growing up, it was more so like we listened to WABC in New York, and they would play Three Dog Night. They would play the Eagles. They would play the OJs, Fifth Dimensions, and that sort of thing. So we had a variety of music.
Right.
But then they started having just black radio and pop radio. Then it became Chirvin, which is a cross between crossover and urban. It just kind of started doing all that stuff, man. So,
yeah,
you know, but
that's what's up.
That's that.
Okay. Yeah, no. But thank you for that, because you kind of covered some of the other questions that I had, because the thing is, a lot of artists out here, like you said, you touched on a key point about how you've got to get the following. You know, some people, like, it kills me when they're like, well, I'm not feeling Facebook. I don't want to get on social media. You have to. There's no way that you can be successful without it. I'm sorry. So, and some people even ask me, why are you so busy about trying to, you know, do this? And every time I look, you posting, I'm like, that's part of your brand.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Back at, you know, like, I hate to call my mom out, but she, you know, the baby boomers, they're not into that. But, you know, the Generation Xers and the millennials, you have to be. I mean, just period. In certain industries, you just have to be. I don't care if you're 80. You got to be somehow on social media if you want to get your brand out there. But, you know, Jeff, I appreciate that knowledge. Thank you so much. But now,
I love it, because what happens is, you know, the baby boomers, who I come right on the tail end of that, is we don't want to, you know, we don't want to expose our life like that. I come from a generation where your mother said, what goes on in the house stays in the house.
Right.
And now, everything that goes on in the house, everybody got to know about it. Everybody got to know that this happened to your mother, that happened to your father, your brother was this, I used to do this. All that information, and people say they want you to be transparent nowadays, but a lot of those things are lies as well.
Right.
So, you know, you have to just be able to be yourself. But like I said, we have to do more social media. And I got to do more social media.
Right. Me and you both, my brother. Now,
Jeff,
you know, everybody wants to know, of course. And this is kind of like a two-part question. How did you, like, we want the details, the nitty-gritty, how you discovered Mary J. Blige. And then I've got another question to follow up right behind that, which is pretty much now new talent. I mean, what are you looking for nowadays in new talent? Because the reason why I ask that is because I get approached by a lot of different people, like artists, whether they need help with, you know, maybe coming on the radio station to get an interview or some PR marketing. And I'm just like, in some cases, I'm like, I have to send them back to the, you know, the basics. I'm like, you need a manager. You need you need something else before you come to me. You trying to blow up overnight. So with that, can you explain, like, how you know, discover Mary J. Blige? And then also, you know, for people who are listening, these new artists, what do they need to do? You know, what are you looking for? People like record companies like yourself or executives.
Okay. Well, starting with Mary, the Mary situation, I performed a lot in New York City. And during that time, I got my deal that way. Andre Harrella came to a club in New Rochelle called The Palace, and he saw me perform, and I got my deal from there. After that point, during that time, I was working at General Motors in Tarrytown, New York, on the assembly line. And while working there, people would know I would do a lot of shows and perform and all that stuff. So a guy came up to me, and he said, well, my daughter sings.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, bring me a cassette, because we're going back to 1988, 87. I said, bring a cassette in of what she's doing. I can check it out.
Right.
So he brought a cassette in of this girl singing. It was either Caught Up in a Rapture or one of them Nita Baker songs. I keep forgetting which one it was.
Caught Up in a Rapture. Was it?
Caught Up in a Rapture. And I said, yo, this is hot. But I couldn't go and meet with her because I had to work. So I sent my managers at the time to the house, told them go check her out, and when they got there, they said, yeah, she's dope. I said, well, get her the deal and give me a point on her career or whatever, and I think it's a point in $3,000, something like that. And they got her the deal, and of course, you know, a year or two goes by, she blows up, so now I'm looking like, okay, where's the point on her career? And, oh, we did say that, but, you know, it wasn't really that way. So, you know, you take them to court and fight, I lost. And then I figured out, you know, I spent actually $20,000 of my money to try to get this thing settled and done. And I didn't even think about the fact that it could have been a thing where MCA being a giant could have had something to do with it not really going through with the attorneys. But hindsight is, you know, 20/20. You learn from that. And I always tell people, when you're doing something and working with artists, please get your paperwork straight.
Yes.
You know, so once she got her deal in 89, yeah, I got her deal in 89, and then she started doing background for me when I was performing, because I was doing a lot of shows. And then we had she had the opportunity to be on the Strictly Business soundtrack, and that first single was You Remind Me. And I had You Call and Told Me on that soundtrack as well. And You Remind Me just took off, and we had to rush in and do her first album, which was What's the 411, and that's when Puff had came along. He had came along right before that, because he actually had was in the studio when I was doing You Called and Told Me.
Wow.
And then he, you know, did all the Mary Project, and, you know, the rest is history. Now, when it comes to artists and what are you looking for today, you know, that's such, I'm looking for talent. But I had three very talented young men. I mean, these guys were incredible. And you can have talent and no drive, and then you got an artist that's looking for you to do everything. So I think it's a balance between talent and a person who has the drive to want to do better, to want to that's got stuff going on before you even come to the table.
Right.
You know, now if they don't have something right. going on and you see them, then you can see what kind of hustle they have. But I know I spent a lot of money with these acts, and then at the end of the day, they didn't have the drive and the passion to make it happen. Talented as I don't know what, but as far as the drive and the passion, it just wasn't there.
Wow.
So I always like to look for artists who have drive, who have something going on, who are out there doing their thing, and you happen to run into them or they send you some stuff. But, you know, gone are the days of just creating a demo and trying to get a deal. Those days are over.
Right.
It's
right.
about views. It's about your presence now, because now you have to get out there and let people see you.
Right.
And people got to see you doing something. People, you know, you got, even if you have a following of 10, 20 people, that's a following. Those are 20 messengers.
Right.
You know, and then you post up your music, people start liking it. And, you know, you go. You have to put in the work now as an artist. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you can see these artists that get signed, they got a million views, and all that stuff can be manipulated too. I get that too, but you kind of have the idea of what talent is. I mean, by the grace of God, I've been able to identify talent and people who have it. And, you know, I can't tell you I know what a hit record is. If anybody tell you that, then they're lying, because nobody knows what a hit is. If somebody would have asked me or told me, and I played all my life for with Casey and JoJo for Stevie Wonder, Andre Harrell, and I mean, Stevie Wonder thought it was a great record. Andre thought it was okay, but in their minds, he was thinking I was taking Jodeci and changing those guys. But I had my idea to make great love songs and music that their mother can hear and put clothes on them, instead of having the clothes hanging off and no shirts on and all that stuff.
Right.
So it actually worked out in my favor, and we went on to do great things. But, you know, you have to have artists who want it themselves. And then once they want it and they got the passion, it's much more easier. It's much more easier, man. And that's how we got in the record business. I got in the record business by doing shows. I remember working at General Motors again. It was a promoter named Reggie Wells, because my man, Reggie Johnson, he was from Uptown, mm-hmm. Uptown Records. That's what we used to call Harlem. They didn't call Harlem back then. They used to call cats who was from Harlem, they would say, we from Uptown. They didn't like that Harlem thing. That became big later on. But my man, Reggie Johnson, who was from Uptown Manhattan, he had said, let's call Reggie Wells. And we called Reggie Wells, and he said, yo, I got a brother that can sing. Could he come on? And Reggie said, yeah, fine. And did the show, and then Reggie turned me on to other promoters. And I started really working the circuit, doing a lot of things in Atlantic City, New York, Connecticut, everywhere. So that was my hustle. And when I went to get a deal at different record labels, everybody hadn't heard about me because I was doing a lot of shows.
Right.
So I had a deal with Uptown. I had a deal with Kashif. And I had an offer
rest
from,
in peace, Kashif, yes.
I think it was Sylvia Rome and maybe Cassandra Mills. It was Sylvia Rome. Sylvia Rome, Kashif, and Uptown. And I decided to go with Uptown.
Wow.
But the hustle and drive is what it takes today and every day. And that's how we did it back in the day. We didn't have videos to send out. We didn't have likes. We had to go out there and get the likes. We had to go out there and make a name for ourselves.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome, Jeff. I appreciate that. And, you know, you hit on something that's very, very interesting, is that how you discovered Mary J. Blige, you know, while working a job at General Motors. Who would ever thought? Because a lot of people think, oh, I got to, you know, in order to blow up, I got to quit my job. And so, I, you know, sometimes you got to juggle both. You got to work that 9 to 5 until
Absolutely.
You can leave that. It makes sense to leave that and go do your passion and so forth, or what you really, really want to do and everything. So thank you for definitely clarifying that.
I appreciate that, because now, you know, even with when I talk to my sons and, you know, everything, you know, it's just an old ethic that we come from, which was hard work. And, you know, you put the work in and then you see the results. And
right.
Not everybody's cut out for this game. This is not a simple game to figure out, especially now. Like, I think you can reach more people, but it's so many people doing the same thing. So, like, we was doing it. Everybody wasn't doing music. Now everybody's doing new music.
Yes.
Everybody's a DJ. Everybody's a producer. Everybody can sing. Everybody can rap. So now you got the internet full of people who are doing this.
Right.
So now you have to go through and find situations. You have to create your own little following. And by the grace of God, I have a name from before. So, you know, you think about new artists today, it's a little, they have more avenues, but you have to figure out how to manipulate the internet so that you can get your followers. And it's more opportunity, but it's a little bit more difficult because there's so many people doing it.
Right. Well, if you just joined us, we are conducting, well, not we, I am conducting an interview with Jeff Redd. I'm telling you, Jeff Redd, you got so many titles. I give you legend, music mogul, recording artist. Oh, man. Discover Mary J. Blige. I'm telling you, that alone, I mean, I feel like, oh, if you were in the studio, I'd just be bowing, like, cheering, you know, but you're so cool, and I appreciate that. And I'm telling you, it's like I'm checking the ratings, and it's so many people that are tuning in. So people want to hear this. They want to hear the realness, you know. And that's why I tell some people sometimes during, you know, my radio show, look, I know there's a lot going on in the world and all that, but it's here, this is where it's about the music. We're not going to get
Absolutely.
Caught up in all the craziness that's going on out in the world. We're gonna play some good music, because that's what soothes the soul, you know. And so
yes.
I'm telling you now, everybody out there, I got some of Jeff's music. Now, Jeff, you sent me I Want You, the Latin Soul mix, and I gotta play that, all right? And
okay.
Everything,
let's,
hey, let's put that on, because I know I got a feeling you done put some time aside for me, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was working on the car, but I'm gonna take a break, so we good. Let's go.
This is Jeff Redd, I Want You, the Latin Soul version, here on the station making waves. All right, Jeff.
All right, now.
Okay. Oh yes, Jeff Red, I want you, the Latin soul mix. Hey Jeff.
Yes.
That is smooth, brother. That is smooth. Thank you for that. I played that last week. I'm gonna put that in the rotation, okay?
Yes, I would like to thank Derek Wiki Nelson, Charles Dixon, HB Music, and Soul Real Records for putting that record out. That record is slated to be released October 27th.
All right.
And we have a video coming next week. No, it's actually going to come, I think, the week of when the video is released. So we got a promo piece coming out this week as well. So please, when you see it posted, everybody share it. And I'm real excited about it. It was shot by a photographer / videographer, my man Tony Tone, who's you're going to be hearing a lot of real soon. So
okay,
please look out for that one. I appreciate it. That's a Marvin Gaye remix.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
That's what's up. Well, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to music mogul, legend, recording artist, hey, Discover. I don't even know how to title it. He discovered Mary J. Blige. We'll just put it out there. And worked with a lot of other artists. So after these messages, Jeff, hey, you got to answer some more questions, and definitely where people can find you, okay?
Absolutely.
So you
no
hold
problem.
On, all right? Okay, cool.
All right.
So, hey, we are talking to Jeff Red. You don't want to touch that dial, I'm telling you. So after these messages, I've got more great music and more questions for Jeff Red here on the station, Making Waves.
For us to have some fun, forget about work, the party's just begun. The music's right and the DJ's got it going on. It's a party. Go get your hair, nails, clothes and everything ready so you can look your very best. Go to the club and get on the dance floor and dance. And everything's right. And if I'm lucky, I might take you home tonight. Now don't be shy with me, baby, 'cause I can feel your vibe tonight. I know you're ready to have a good time, so let's dance.
Now y'all know this is a time of the night where everybody gets closer. Now fellas, I want you to look at that lady you're standing right in front of. Or you're dancing right in front of. And grab her hand like this. And y'all just go ahead.
Now move to the right. Now move to the left. Step back one time.
and dance and dance and dance. Party people.
Party people, yeah.
All around the world.
All around the world. All around the world.
It's a party.
It's a show enough party.
Dance,
come on, y'all.
Dance,
oh, dance. Right, Jeff Red.
You're listening to the station that's making waves, hey. WHFR Dearborn.
You know it. You know it. Hey, hey, I'm telling you, if you just join us, I have, Jeff. Hey, we're the station making waves, WHFR.FM, 89.3 FM. This is the Soul Society, and I got Jeff Red with me tonight. He's helping me to host and everything. So, Jeff, I had to bring it in after the messages with Dance, Dance, Dance. Now, it was another title, but I remember...
It was called Friday Night. That was a working title, Friday Night. And then after I finished writing it, I was listening, everybody, get a word. It's like dance, dance, dance. That's where, you know, it came up with the title. And that was actually was an idea that I had. I worked with DJ Bent Rock, who's on WBLS in New York.
Right.
And he and I was on a cruise together. It's like a four-hour cruise. And I was listening to a couple of songs, said, we need to make a song that feels good. And he actually reached out to a guy, Tony, and Tony had called my man Dinky Bingham, and Dinky had kind of played the music, and then I went and wrote it. And that record, I mean, I still listen to that record. I love that record.
Right.
It gets you up. It's one of them Report to the Dance Floor records.
Right. That's what's up. That's what's up. Hey, I'm telling you, Jeff, like I said, I've played that before too. Okay. So you've been getting the rotation here, 89.3. I'm telling you, but I got a few more questions and everything. But before I start with my questions and everything, can you tell everybody where they can find you? You know, social media, email, whatever you feel comfortable giving out. Please give it to our listeners.
Oh, no, that's fine. They can find me on Facebook at The Real Jeff Red, and that's TheRealJeffRe, two Ds, REDD, and also on Instagram, The Real Jeff Red. And they can find me at those spots there, man. I return all emails, and I just want to, you know, get a chance to interact with the people who have supported me over the years. And I'm very excited about doing that. And like I said, being 29 years in next month, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of people and to see them, you know, 29 years later. I had did something this weekend and ran into a lot of people. So, I mean, just hit me up. I do return all messages. So y'all hit me up at The Real Jeff Red on Instagram and Facebook.
That's what's up. Now,
and they can also reach me at jeffred.com, www.jeffredd.com. That's www.jeffred.com.
He's on the World Wide Web.
Yes, ma'am.
I know. Absolutely. That's right. Well, Jeff, tell me, what would you say has been one of the greatest lessons that you've learned throughout your career? You know, almost like, if I knew what I know now type of thing.
Right. Hindsight is 20/20, right?
Yes,
but
yes.
I say the greatest lesson I learned is that you got to take care of business. And I had a conversation with my cousin today. We had a conversation about that, which was something totally different, but it was the same thing. You know, sometimes business can be a very touchy subject, but you know, had I taken care of business with the Mary situation, things would probably have been a lot more better for me. So what that taught me, I wasn't angry or mad at the guys. Me and the guys that happened with, you know, we're cool to this day. But, you know, it just showed me that I had to take care of my business, and that's the greatest lesson. Business and personal are not the same. And that's what I got confused about, because I thought since we were friends and they were managing me and everything was fine, that, you know, I was going to be straight and taken care of. But business and personal is two different things, and when you learn how to separate those two,
right,
it's so much better, man. It was a great lesson for me to learn.
Wow.
To make sure you take care of your business, period.
Wow. So, Jeff, break down now, okay, 2017. You know, you told us the Mary J. Blige story. You told us kind of like how you would go back and forth from your day job at GM, and then, you know, you work, you know, with MCA Records and so forth and everything. So what are you doing now? You know, you mentioned Soul Records, you know, and everything. So tell us, everybody, what are you working on in 2017?
Actually, I'm putting out records. I'm performing, and I have, like I said, I Want You, which will be out on October 27th on TrackSource. Pick it up on TrackSource, and it'll probably be available also on iTunes and Amazon and all that. I also have another thing. Dance, Dance, Dance is already available on iTunes and Amazon and all those things. Also, I have the video coming, which will probably come out October 20th. I also have a book that I finished.
Wow.
A romance novel, fiction. I also have a shea butter called So Real Butter. And it's a scented shea butters that are very great for the skin. I use them every day. And besides that, performing and doing shows, I actually have some shows coming up. October 8th, which is this Sunday, I'll be at Alvin and Friends in New Rochelle. I'm doing like an intimate jazz R&B set with a trio.
Right.
So that's going to be great with Sir Charles Dixon, and myself are doing that at Albert and Friends from the hours of 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And just constantly performing and doing shows.
And grinding.
And putting out music.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, doing what I love to do. And also here and there, periodically, looking for guys to kind of bring along on the journey. You know, the one thing which is interesting, and people who are out there are the sound of my voice, especially if you're located in New York or something like that. I'm actually, you know, looking and trying to locate musicians, because I think I'm going to work with some guys this weekend, but I'm looking for, like, musicians to work with so we can actually do some recording and do some shows and stuff like that, because I see the importance of having bands like Maze featuring Frankie Beverly and Brass Construction and stuff like that. So bands are so much needed, but you know, one thing as a musician, most musicians, they do what they call gigging. Now, everything's a gig. And I never say I'm going to a gig. I say I'm going to a show. A gig, you start gigging, then you're gigging the rest of your life. I'm doing shows every night whenever I'm performing.
Right.
So it's like you got to find musicians who understand that it's important. In order, I know you got to eat, and as a musician, you got to work. But also to find an established group of cats that you can work with, and you guys can make music and make, you know, and get out here and work.
Exactly. So. Now, Jeff, you know, usually I'll ask people when I do my interviews, you know, who are some of your favorite artists? But with you, I want to rephrase it. Who are some artists, I guess, whether in the past, now, that you would love to work with?
I work with a lot of the guys that I work with. It's a lot of young, I think Neo's a great writer, a great entertainer. the new cats of today, like I'm thinking about it, and there's a lot. There's some new guys that aren't out yet. Yeah, there's an artist that I'm working with called Mark Knotts. Mark Knotts is a guy who is very similar to when Maxwell first started out, and he's based out of the Bay Area. So, you know, it's new cats like that, and always looking for new and other producers. There's more producers and artists out there that I like. I like that girl, Seven Streeter. I think she's doing some real good things.
Okay.
And it's just a lot of different acts now, because, like I said, there's so many acts that are doing some interesting things. There was a group called something. I think it's Thanka Banga, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name. They just got a deal. So it's just a lot of that I would like to work with. And I mean, if you want to talk about old and young, I would love to sit down with Frankie Beverly.
Okay.
And, you know, get inside his head and understand how did those guys stay together.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit that on the nail. I mean, nobody's worried about a new album. They cool with all the old stuff.
Right, and that's the thing, man. It's like, I thank God that I have music that people are still playing because I'm able to work from it. But it's interesting to see how some DJs, and I'm categorizing all, but some DJs and probably most DJs kind of play the same music at every party, on the radio, the same music. And I thank God that one of my records is one of them, or two of them is one of is some of the records they're playing. But I would like to see more of breaking records. See, DJs, when I came up, you know, I used to go to Disco Fever and Star Child was DJing, and Love Bug Starsky, and then I would go to Club 371 in the Bronx and listen to DJ Hollywood, Eddie Cheever, and then I would just go around to all the Red Parrot, Bentleys, Leviticus, all that stuff, where DJs would actually break records. You know, DJs don't like to play new music now because they're afraid to clear the dance floor. Right. But if you put a record on and work it the right way, you know, is a way to make music, to make people like music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I would just like to see more of that with the DJs and how they're really getting their shows together. Because it goes back to what I was saying about how people doing what everybody else is doing.
Right.
So when you talk about acts and producers, you know, just do what you feel is best. You know, and I've, you know, besides that, you know, I've traveled and do jazz. I work a lot of jazz stuff. Like, I'm doing jazz this weekend.
That's
awesome.
So I'm
doing jazz and standards and,
right,
you know, all kind of stuff. And I would love to work with a lot of these young producers out there. Like, I love the combination when you have the young producers and the artists who have been around, and you take them and shape, change it. Look at Charlie Wilson. Charlie Wilson is doing an exceptional job, and he's almost 70 years old, if not 70.
Right, right.
You know, so right, it's always a time for all these acts, man. I don't have nothing against any of these young producers and these young artists. I love to work with them all. And I think as an artist, we have egos. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm an artist, and I know sometimes you might get requests from young artists, and sometimes you say, well, who's that? It doesn't matter who it is. You know what I'm saying? I had to check myself with that.
Right.
You know, want to work as young artists who want to work with you, and you kind of leery about them. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to put our egos to the side and learn that we can always learn something from the new guys. And that's what I think my generation has a hard time doing, because we've had so much success and have done so much. And in our minds, they're not doing what we're doing. And, you know, we have to get out of that. And I'm just saying them, but myself as well. And I'm learning, you know, to understand that it's not about what we've done. It's about what you're doing.
Right.
Nobody cares about, yeah, it's great I discovered Mary and sold a bunch of records with Casey and JoJo, and was probably one of the top execs at the time in the music,
right,
business. But, you know, what, like they say, what have you done for me lately?
Woo.
So we have to constantly reinvent ourselves as artists. That's why I go from singing to writing to producing to Shea Butter to books and all that stuff.
Right, diversifying. That's what I'm talking about. You got to keep it going. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, we have to. We have to. And I want to, you know, the artists who have been around as long, man, we have to just put our egos to the side. We have to understand that it's time to reinvent ourselves, man. And reinventing means not starting at the top. It means starting at the bottom.
Wow.
And when you start at the bottom and make your way back up, it's no problem. Because it ain't going to take as long as it did the first time. Because,
wow,
once you get rolling, you're off to the races. And,
wow,
like I said, I thank God every day because, you know, it was 10 years ago, I came back to New York. I was in L.A., and I came back to New York to take care of my mother. And I took care of her for 9 years. She passed away 2 years ago.
Oh,
and during,
sorry,
that time, with me thinking that coming back to take care of her would be a bad thing, it turned out to reignite my whole career. So God always has a way of placing you in places. All we have to do is just be available. We're not available enough. Just be available and let him do the work. You know, just be obedient and understand and listen to that inner voice, man. You,
wow,
know, so it told me to come back to New York, told me to come and take care of my mother, and that turned into, you know, my whole career reigniting.
That's what's up, Jeff. I appreciate that. You know, and here, you know, on my show, I try to end the show with food for thought, you know, and today, you know, we're going to do like a tribute to the victims in Las Vegas and everything. And, you know, before we conclude this interview, please, can you tell the listeners or your fans, you know, just some food for thought. You know, I know a couple weeks ago we had Kiki Waters here, and she's a new upcoming artist, and she said something that just about almost had me in tears. She was like, I've been there, I've been homeless, I've been there, but just keep going. You know, she really dug deep down to give her food for thought and so forth. And I mean, it was from the heart. She was keeping it real. So it, just with all the wealth of knowledge that you have, you know, from when you first started out to now, what is something that you want people to take away? You know,
I want people to take away, if you put God first in every and anything you do and be obedient to that inner voice in you, there's going to be hardships. There's going to be times when bills can't be paid. There's going to be times when you're going to have to ask somebody for something. And I know a lot of us have what we call pride. And this man told me this a long time ago. Eddie Sims actually told me, pride will have you riding a bus. And he never lied when he said that. Because I've ridden the bus a couple of times because I didn't want to ask for anything. I didn't want to bother people. But, you know, God has sent people my way to help me. And it's people, like I said, who have lost their way, and we're dealing with so much violence and war. And I know right now in my mind, I think we're going through a spiritual warfare. And we have to just be more obedient to the word of God and understand that, you know, this too shall pass. And be able to understand how to maneuver even through it all. Even every situation, every predicament that you put that you put yourself in or that happens to you is all for a reason. Understand the lesson, because you will constantly keep going over and over again until you get the lesson. So I say to everyone out there, of course, put God first, but also be able to know that if you put your pride and ego to the side, because ego is, to me, acronyms for edging God out. So when you edge God out, you're not letting all the good things in. And, you know, I just want everybody to understand that, man, because now we need, now more than ever, we got to constantly pray. And I don't want to start preaching, but I understand the power of God.
We
have to be able to pray and be able to make things, you know, and understand in every situation you're in that it's only temporary. Nobody's broke forever. Nobody's rich forever. But you, whenever, whatever situation you're in, just learn to embrace it.
Right.
Understand that, you know, this too shall pass.
Right. Now, Jeff, you got to repeat that again. What does ego stand for? E-G-O. What does that stand for?
Edging God out.
Wow. You're
taking God out of the equation. And once you do that, then you run into so many problems.
Wow.
Well, no, that's the key to it, to me. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. Because you think about what's going on in Vegas and Houston and Puerto Rico and all these things where you have these disasters, and, you know, it's time now for us to pray. And,
right,
you know, like they said, God said it in the Bible, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Right.
And we have to understand that, you know, if you ain't praying and reaching up to him, you better start.
Right. That's some good stuff, Jeff. I'm telling you, I can't thank you enough for calling in, you know, taking time out of your busy schedule to just give everybody that food.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank you, Marjan. I'd like to thank Cornell Patterson for putting this together.
Yes.
I'd like to thank Teresa O'Neill as well, who has assisted in getting all the stuff to you.
Yes.
And I'd like to thank the people out there who have supported me over the last 29 years of my career. And thank you. And like I said, keep reaching out. The Real Jeff Red on Facebook, The Real Jeff Red on Instagram, and www.jeffred.com. And that's 2 D's, R-E-D-D.
That's what's up. Well, Jeff, I'm telling you, when you get whatever comes out next, whatever project you're working on, you know you can always come here, either whether in person or through a phone call.
I want to come in person.
Yes.
I want to go and come to Detroit and grab me something to eat. It was a place there, I think it was called a cafeteria I ate at years ago. I don't know if it's still there.
No, I think it's called
it's like cafeteria type style food.
Okay.
But I had known the girl. It was a group called Body.
Mm.
Peggy Body and those girls from Detroit. And they were always great people. So I love Detroit, and I can't wait to get down there to see you. Can't wait to meet you. And when you come to New York,
oh, you
let
know
me
it.
Know.
You know it. You know it. I love New York.
We're going to go out and have some fun. That's what we do in New York.
Everybody, you're hearing that, right? So I'm recording
Absolutely.
This, too. So I'm going to play it back for Nell and Teresa.
Play
you heard
back.
That.
You can play it back and play it forward. It's done.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. And we here at WHFR 89.3 wish you the best, and we thank you for this. And everybody was so supportive and even promoting this and so forth.
Yes.
So I'm telling you, anytime you want to call in or come, you are more than welcome, my brother. And I wish you nothing but love, peace, and soul, and success, all right?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Marjan. And like I said before, keep on doing what you're doing. Thank
yes.
you for constantly playing new artists, the older
yes.
artists, and just keeping everything in perspective, man, because nothing is old and nothing is new. I always say there's no past and there's no future. It's the moment where we're in right now.
Wow. Thank you, brother. All right. Well, you
Thank
have a
you
good
so
one.
Much.
All right. Take care. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, you just heard it, man. That was deep. Ego. I mean, if you didn't take nothing else away from Jeff's message, ego. Edging God out. Shoot. You can't do that. So with that, I've got more great music after these messages. So don't touch that dial. But I've got to do a few shout outs.